Over the past few years, the solar industry boom has been replaced by bust. Many solar providers have gone out of business, and this comes as there's more focus on Hawaii's 2045 renewable energy standard. Some would say that's ironic. On top of that, HECO's power supply improvement plan, approved by the PUC last month, could mean substantial rate hikes for customers across the state. Marco Mangelsdorf is a longtime solar provider on Hawaii Island. We talked earlier about the plan and where that leaves a solar industry to find its future.
It's really a lot to unpack, and it's such a multi-layered discussion and analysis. And one of the key takeaways for me, being that I've been in this business now here in Hawaii for the past 17 years, in fact, I just quietly celebrated my 17th year anniversary yesterday of being part of ProVision. And I would never have predicted the roller coaster, or the solar coaster as it's come to be known, that we've been on these past years. And the numbers for this year and for last year in terms of actual photovoltaic system permits across the Hawaiian Electric territories of HECO, HELCO, and MECO have been going down, down, down. And this flies in the face of the strong consensus from Hawaiian Electric to the regulators, to Public Utilities Commission, the governor, the legislators, pretty much across the board, that we need more, 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 that more, more, more rooftop solar is a good thing. So how is it that these lines are seemingly bifurcating in opposite directions, where actual sales and installations are going down, 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 and yet the desire for more, more, more is up, up, up?
Isn't that based on the fact that we don't have a grid that contains the up, up, up?
I don't find that argument 100% persuasive, and I'll tell you why. It's important, I think, for people to know that Hawaii is by far, one more time, by far the most solarized state in the nation in terms of rooftop solar, both for electric power generation, PV, photovoltaic, and also solar thermal or solar water heating. Even though DBED doesn't have actual data, because I've tried to get it from them, my estimate is that at least double, if not more than that, of single-family homes have solar water heating systems, and that's been the case over the past decades. To believe or to claim that the utilities here are somehow obstructionists for more solar, I think, is a facile and fundamentally an incorrect argument. The Public Utilities Commission issued a decision in October of 2015 to formally end net energy metering. Net energy metering has been this fantastically successful program, or was, I should say, from July 2001 until it was brought to a close by the commission in late 2015. And that allowed people who put in a photovoltaic system on their roof or their business up to a certain size, 100 kilowatts, to be able to get full retail credit for whatever power they produced, send it back to the utility company. So this wasn't a decision that Hawaiian Electric took. This was a decision that the Public Utilities Commission took. And they took that decision primarily because they believed, and I think this was the correct decision, that the training wheels for solar PV could come off, that type of incentive was no longer needed, that there had been economies of scale, significant reduction in cost, mass adoption, that allowed for NEM to be phased out. So the interconnect agreements that we've had since NEM have been less attractive to the homeowner, to the business owner, and I've suffered from that. A lot of us have suffered from that, but I still think it was the right thing to do.
But certainly you understand where a homeowner would say, hey, there's not necessarily that much benefit to me now, and altruism aside, they're still looking at it through their own pocketbooks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a great debate, at least I'm having it within my own mind, which is, how much of a market is left, Beth Ann? How much of a market in terms of those homeowners, those business owners who have not gone rooftop solar, how much of them are still inclined to do so? And keep in mind as well, this is a wild card or a factor that a lot of people don't know or think about, which is that we have one of the highest percentages of our residents live as renters, and they don't have their own roof to put their own PV system on. That is obviously an impediment for us in the industry to sell more and more and more solar. Now, there's something called Community-Based Renewable Energy, or CBRE, or Community Solar for short, that has been gestating amongst the parties since Governor Ige signed it into law more than 2 years ago, and this would conceivably allow renters to be able to get their piece of the solar pie. But as we've seen so many times in our little state, the best of intentions in terms of laws being signed by the governor actually being implemented and doing good, there can be quite the long disconnect.
So taking where we are right now, based on what you've just said, and now overlaying the power supply improvement plan that was recently approved by the PUC, what do you see going forward for a modernized grid and for people to feel like they're going to be able to support this when they see such a rate increase?
Well, the Power Supply Improvement Plan has quite the long saga. This was the third or fourth iteration, depending on where you start counting. And it did meet with commission approval when they issued their decision and order on this back on July 14th, just a few weeks ago. The HECO companies were asked by the commission to really focus on the near term, and what the near term means is from now, 2017, until 2021, so approximately the next 5 years. The last iteration of the PSIP that was approved with notable caveats by the commission essentially focuses on or proposes a large increase in renewable power generation across the Hawaiian Electric Territories, which are five islands, three utilities, right? 400 megawatts. And as the commission themselves noted in the actual decision and order, that would be unprecedented. The state has never brought on board so much generating capacity in such a short period of time. So the proposals from Hawaiian Electric in the short term over the next 4+ years are truly daunting and incredibly aggressive. They also propose or envision a substantial increase in the amount of rooftop solar. Now, my point repeatedly in public has been, that's all well and good, but the reality on the ground is that, you know, I don't want to be too melodramatic here, but, you know, we as an industry are kind of dying this slow, painful death. So there's a disconnect between what people are saying, what the utility is projecting in terms of more rooftop solar, and the numbers that I'm actually seeing. Now, in terms of the rate, proposed rate increase, I'm kind of stunned, actually, that there hasn't been more play in the media about what the PSIPs do envision in terms of rate increases, and this was noted by the commission in their decision order.
Concerning the affordability of the plans that would see HECO increasing the near term 17.8%, for HELCO 25.1%, MECO 18.2%, you know, having people see that increase in their bills and pay it.
That's right. That's right. And I mean, aside from one article that I saw in the PBN after the DNO came out, there has been very little discussion in the media about what is envisioned in terms of these rate increases. I mean, I have had customers of mine who, or potential customers who have come in essentially kind of misinterpreting these numbers and thinking that, my goodness, am I going to be hit with a 25.1% increase, you know, in the months to come? And like you mentioned, it's 25.1% for HELCO, and that's over the next purported 4 to 5 years. So for those people who have heard about it, there is concern. I mean, because, as everybody probably knows by now, Hawaii residents pay the highest electric utility rates in the country. And given the percentages of people across the islands, especially in some of the poorer districts economically speaking of this island, there's often the choice, or sometimes the choice at least, in terms of paying one's $100, $200, $300, $400 electric utility bill and having enough food in the cupboards to be able to feed people. I mean, I don't want to be too dramatic here, but I mean, it's a very, very powerful pocketbook issue when you're talking about an increase of 25% just over the next handful of years.
Are we really talking about then capital expenditures and being able to make that happen on the backs of the people who are paying rates?
Well, I think you nailed it, Beth Ann. I mean, capital expenditures, or CapEx for short, are really the key to this whole puzzle, and the utilities have proposed a substantial increase in CapEx, and that would have to be approved by the commission, and that will be paid by the ratepayers, not by the shareholders of HEI, but by the ratepayers, and this will manifest through base rate increases, which are now before the commission for both HELCO and HECO, and I'm sure the commission will be looking very closely and scrutinizing what HECO companies are asking for in terms of a base rate. The CapEx is critically important across the board in terms of what kind of authority, how much the HECO companies will be given in terms of approval to raise CapEx? Where is it going to come from, at what cost, and how much is that truly going to cost the ratepayers of the five islands that HECO serves?
All questions everyone will be pondering after especially having listened to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Well, it's been my great pleasure. I hope we could do it again. Thanks, Suzanne.
Marco Mengelsdorf has been working in solar energy since 1978 and has been with ProVision Solar in Hilo since it opened its doors in 2000. He's a director and secretary of the Hawaii Island Energy Cooperative and has taught energy politics at UH Hilo and for the University of California.